traveling to different places. Now, you may remember that just, you know, a couple of days ago, you know, Jesus was riding on a donkey, you know, being welcomed and received into Jerusalem. That was just 4 days ago. The disciples, a bunch of fishermen, you know, political radical, tax collectors, for the first time saw how the whole people, the entire city, welcomed and worshiped the Lord Jesus as he rode on the donkey into Jerusalem. As far as the disciples were concerned, it was a very, very new and unexpected experience for them. For the very first time, they saw Jesus worshiped, accepted, and also hailed the way they have never seen before. So you can imagine with this kind of power and recognition, you know, heaped on Jesus Christ, that so many people seem to want to be friends with Jesus that day. You know, you can imagine how proud and excited the disciples must be. Normal people like you and I, we probably have a difficult time comprehending and appreciating what it feels like to be worshipped and glorified like that. You just have to be there to feel the feelings and the emotions and the excitement. Now, that was Sunday, Palm Sunday. Now, in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, you know, it had come to be Thursday evening, Thursday night, 4 days later. However, the idea of power and fame was still fresh on the minds of the disciples. Now, Thursday night, they were in the upper room. Now, this is where we get something more from comparing the different passages in the Gospels. Luke chapter 22 tells us that, yes, Jesus and the disciples were in the upper room celebrating the Passover, the Last Supper, soon to be the Lord's Supper. But something else was also happening. Jesus turned the Last Supper into the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal into a meal of the cross. Verse 19 in Luke chapter 22, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying that this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Later on in the service, we as believers and followers of Jesus Christ would have an opportunity to hear those words again as we remember the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 20, in the same way after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you. And in verse 21, verse 22, you know, he switched gear. Immediately after mentioning the bread, in verse 19, the cup in verse 21, he says, you know, but I have a warning for you. Someone among you is going to be the traitor. It's going to turn me into the authorities. The Son of Man will go as it has been predicted. But shame and woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. So verses 21 and 22, you know, these two verses was a warning given by Jesus. The disciples had no clue who Jesus was talking about. So in verse 23, they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do something like this to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, note verse 24. And even as they were imagining, guessing, you know, speculating, a quarrel, a strong quarrel, arose among them as to which of them would be considered to be the greatest. If you look at, you know, these few verses long enough, you probably would notice that, you know, the disciples really were not paying enough attention to what Jesus was saying when Jesus was talking about the bread and the cup, and also who was going to betray him, one of them. The disciples heard that, but they weren't paying him that much attention. Why would we say that? You know, because we see Jesus predicting in verses 21 and 22. And then the next verse, one verse only, 23, they were wondering who it could be. But that was about it, and their attention turned very quickly into an argument about being the greatest, the most influential, and also the leader of the pack. You know, sadly, 4 days later, 4 days later, they were still thinking about the showers of praise, the recognition, and the worship the people gave to the Lord Jesus. And that as Christian, as followers of Jesus who entered Jerusalem that same day, what they could get personally from Jesus' new popularity. That's what they were arguing about, you know. Jesus is going to be great. He probably would become king, you know. I hope I would also be great or the greatest in his new scheme of plan. It actually tells us something about the mentality, the attitude, you know, the heart's desires of the disciples at that time, on that evening. But I have to be honest though, we are sometimes, including myself, very much like the disciples, you know. Sometimes I find myself possibly following and serving Jesus with the wrong motives, very much like the disciples. Maybe as Christians, we sometimes are hoping that we could earn a place by knowing Jesus. You know, just a safe ticket to heaven. I want to make sure that I have that. And I know that God says that once I've given it to you, I'm not going to take it away. I want to make sure that, you know, I have that in knowing Jesus Christ. But everything else, I'm less interested, you know. Maybe that is, you know, what is very typical of a lot of believers today. Perhaps we follow Jesus sometimes because we were hoping that he would give us the material blessings we would like in life. Or maybe, you know, we're hoping to get something else from Jesus just by becoming Christians. You know, every now and then you see people like that. And every now and then you and I may fall into that trap. We follow Jesus, we know that he's God, but we have some kind of ulterior motives. We want something personally from him. So we and the disciples are not too different. The disciples were more interested in what they could get from Jesus' new popularity. They were arguing, but what did Jesus do? Interestingly enough, Jesus was not involved in the argument. They probably wasn't even looking at Jesus or thinking about Jesus when they were arguing among themselves. But instead, Jesus, you know, left the argument and he got up, walked quietly over to a bucket, you know, pick up the bucket with a towel, and then he started going around washing the disciples' feet one by one. And this is where we come to the passage we just read together, John chapter 13. Now we know that this was in the middle of the Lord's Supper or the Passover meal. But by this time, this is what Jesus did. In verse 4, Jesus got up from the meal, the Passover meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin, a bucket, and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. That was what Jesus was doing, in contrast to the disciples who were arguing and debating and not agreeing with one another. Personally, for me, I find that it is very instructive and very important to remember right here that this is still part of the Last Supper, the Passover meal going on. Yes, Jesus just talked about the bread. He also mentioned the cup and gave it to them. But the Passover meal, you know, wasn't finished yet. The second half of the Passover meal was to follow, you know, very soon. But right at that point, you know, they started an argument about being great, about being the boss of the group. And as a result, Jesus showed them how to wash feet. The feet washing and the Last Supper, or the feet washing and communion, they actually go together if you read Luke and John together. Sometimes it is easy to think that they are separate events, not having much to do with one another. But now we know that, you know, in the middle of the Passover meal, in the middle of so-called communion, an argument broke out. And Jesus showed them the real answer to the argument, to start washing feet. It is a little bit sad that what was supposed to be a Passover meal, remembering the mercy of God to the people of Israel when they were in the land of Egypt many, many years ago, and how God led the people of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, you know, it is a little bit sad to note that, you know, on these occasions, the disciples mess it all up. Now, they have messed it up by arguing among themselves. They have made the celebration of communion into a matter of power and influence and position. Jesus, in response, washed their feet. Is Jesus trying to tell us something about communion other than remembering him, giving thanks? I believe so. Part of the lesson and part of the communion lessons for the disciples behind Jesus' washing feet is that of servanthood, being a servant, but a servant of God. Servanthood and communion go together. The Passover is a story about God's greatness and mercy for his people. Therefore, the people's rightful response is to thank and honor God. And in the same way, communion, the Lord's Supper, is a story about Jesus' sacrifice and love for us. And therefore, the rightful response from us is to remember, thank, and serve the Lord Jesus. By washing feet, Jesus is saying that communion is less about power, less about gaining something personally from the Lord Jesus by calling ourselves believers. Communion is more about following the example of Jesus. In this case, the example of being a servant. Be ready to wash feet. Christians are servants of God. The lesson is so important. Serving God with love is so important that it is one of the last precious teachings Jesus gave his disciple during the Last Supper, a day before he went to the cross. Jesus was the one serving the meal to the disciples on that Thursday night. He was also the servant who washed the feet of the disciples. He was a servant, the ultimate servant at communion that night. And he is now challenging us as we share in communion today to be willing to be his servants as we experience his grace and forgiveness. Jesus, the greatest servant, is asking us, because of communion and because of what he did on the cross, would we also be willing to not expect things from God, but just be willing to be his servants? One of the most Christ-like responses, or one of the most Christian behaviors that we can emulate, we can have, is to serve with the love of God. It may be a very simple thing, maybe a very unpleasant task, but nevertheless, because God was talking to us, we saw the need, there is a little bit something that we can do about it, we are willing to help out. Maybe without being rewarded, maybe without other people taking notice, but we know that we are doing it out of love to the Lord. Why do we say that? Because that is precisely what Jesus did. Jesus knew what the disciples were fussing about, but he did not want to have any part of it. He did not want them to think that being a Christian is simply about getting something from him. So instead of criticizing and getting upset at the disciples, you know, he just got up quietly, fetched a bucket and a towel and started washing their feet one by one. Now, do you imagine that Jesus was enjoying what he did? Probably not. You have to remember that Jesus and the disciples had been traveling the whole day. What happens when you walk around all day long in sandals or flip-flops? Back in those days, your feet get very dirty and very sweaty, you know. And sometimes, or most time very smelly. Now I want you to imagine a picture of this. You know, we know that in the Last Supper, you know, unlike the picture in Da Vinci's painting, the disciples were actually not sitting on stools or chairs. They were reclining, like what we read in the New Testament. Basically, this was the custom, you know, back in those days for celebration and formal occasions. You have a lot of cushions and pillows around, just like in some of the, you know, Middle Eastern cultures now. And then, you know, you have a big pillows here, and then you're leaning on the cushion, and then maybe there are other cushions around. So, you know, people were reclining, the disciples were reclining around the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you sit like that, when you recline, it is very easy for you to notice that someone else's feet is not too far from you, or not too far from your face, and that your own feet, you know, smelly, stinking feet, you know, is also somewhat not too far from another person reclining next to you. So in that position, you know, all the disciples had to be aware. They had to be able to smell the, you know, the stink that was going on. They were supposed to have washed their feet before celebrating the Passover meal. They all knew that. But somehow they chose to ignore it, and they were behaving as if it was not a problem at all. And again, that is just some, you know, so much like us sometimes. We have dirty feet. I know I have dirty feet, dirty hands, dirty body parts. Or sometimes we may see dirty feet and dirty hands that belongs to other people. But like the disciples, we pretend it wasn't there. We ignore it. Or that we thought or tried to convince ourselves that it belongs to someone else, you know, somebody else's business or responsibility. It is not mine. If something has to be done about it, let someone else do it, you know. It should not be me. The disciples wanted personal gain from Jesus' new popularity. They have forgotten what it means to be a Christian following Jesus. They were more concerned with what they could get from being followers of a very popular and very powerful master. They did not want to be servants. They wanted instead to be leaders, to be greatest, to be bosses. Yet through his action, Jesus said, you know, you have gotten it all wrong. You're not thinking right. I want you to know that being a Christian and sharing in the communion is that you need to remember you were bought with the blood of Jesus. You were born with the blood of Jesus, so therefore you belong to Jesus. You belong to God, and as a result, always serve God. So you see, if you are a Christian, one of our most basic responsibilities is that we are servers, servants of God, no exception. So Jesus got up and did the most menial things. Right in the middle of the Lord's Supper, and this is the passage, the lesson in John chapter 13. In verse 12, you know, after washing the disciples' feet, he asked the disciples, "Do you know what I have done to you?" And this is the answer, the lesson he wants them to remember. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. But if I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." That's what Jesus was telling them, you know. I know you have concern. I know that you have needs. I know that, you know, you want to be respected. I know you have a long wish list. But I want you to know that when you became a Christian, when you became a believer of Jesus Christ, your life belongs to Jesus Christ. God knows all these other things, and he will take care of that. But your most basic concern and duty is that you are now a new person in Christ. You are God's child. You are God's servant. And if you are God's servant, I am your example. What I did, I want you to follow me. I want you to remember, and I want you to copy that. This is the challenge for us today, brothers and sisters. The church today, worldwide, our church here, the Chinese Community Church, we need Christians who are willing. We need Christians who are willing to be servants of God. Servants who serve with the love of God. It is not easy to do that. We need Christians. The church needs believers who are willing to follow God, not because of what they can get from God. God will take care of that. But for what we can do for the Lord, just to serve and worship Him. I want to close with this quote. D.L. Moody was probably the greatest preacher and pastor in America a century ago. He once said something like this. He said, "Show me a church where there is love. Show me a church where there is love. And I'm going to show you a church that is a power in the community, a church that is a power in the neighborhood. A church filled with love will automatically be a church with power inside and outside the church buildings. If only we could make the world believe that we, the church, the Christians, love them, there would be fewer empty pews or fewer empty churches." How true that is. And then he closed, you know, in our church, what do we need to do? Put more love in our church relationships, you know, more love in our interaction with one another, and the world would soon be evangelized. It'll be quicker to convince and reach men and women with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Later on, we're going to be receiving communion for those of us who are believers. Today, before the communion table of the Lord Jesus, I asked you, as part of our silent and personal confession, that one, would you join me asking God to forgive us? Because you and I are not always as loving as we ought to be. That's prayer number one, confession number one. Prayer number two, as a result of that, would you also join me quietly praying that today's communion, because Jesus, the invisible master, is here, today's communion will reignite a greater love inside for the Lord. That somehow God would challenge and remind us and change us so that, you know, communion experience today would give us a greater love for God. And number three, in our silent confession and prayer, would you also join me in praying that for our search pastor, God will bring us another pastor who is filled with the love of Jesus Christ to help lead and grow our church in the near future. Just for these three items, by way of prayer, by way of personal communion. And I'm going to ask us to bow and pray over these three items one at a time, very quickly. In silence, let us bow our heads and let us pray. Let us now first ask God to forgive us because we are not always as loving as we could be. And now let us pray, asking God that He would make today's communion special, that it would instill a greater love in us. And lastly, let us pray for God to bring us a pastor of love, to grow and lead His church together. Father God, we ask that You will hear our prayers and help us, O Lord, to pray these prayers again, because we want to be Christians who follow Jesus because you have loved us first in the first place, not because of what we can get from you. We thank you for changing our church, for giving us more love, and for leading us on. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. And now we're going to sing a song about the servant, the headmaster of communion. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? If you do not know the songs, do not worry. Just enjoy the words and let it minister to you. Says that God wants us to remember him by way of the Lord's table, but also that we should examine our hearts as we approach the table. And now the following words are going to take us through a process of examination. We begin with confession. Just now we spent a little bit of time asking God to forgive us personally in silence, and now I invite you to join me in reading this confessional prayer together. Although we may be reading with our eyes open and saying the words, but let it come from our hearts. Let it mean business with God. So brothers and sisters, together. Merciful God, we confess that often we have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. God knows that we have sins, and he wants us to know that we are unclean in his eyes. But he also wants us to know that each time when we confess our sins in the name of the Lord Jesus, he will forgive us. He will make us right. He will restore us. Therefore, because of our confession through the name of Christ, brothers and sisters, you and I are forgiven in the eyes of God. And now, may the peace of Christ be with you. Lift up your hearts. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Yes, it is right and good to give thanks, Almighty God, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image, and you called us to new life in Jesus Christ. In all times and places, your people proclaim your glory in unending praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Living God, our Father, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these precious gifts of communion, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also ask that you would grant that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed through his blood, serving and reconciling all people to you. Please remember your church scattered upon the face of the earth. Gather it in unity and preserve it in truth. And in communion with the saints and all creations, we worship and glorify you always. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. This is from the scripture portion. On the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks. He broke the bread and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And taking a cup, again he gave thanks, shared a cup with his disciples, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." People of God, the bread which we break is the sharing in the body of Christ. And in the same way, people of God, the cup which we drink from is the sharing in the blood of Christ. This is the bread representing the broken body of the Lord Jesus. This is the cup representing the blood of the Lord Jesus shed for us sinners. So as we receive it, let us give thanks to God. But also let us ask him to remember the lessons of being his servants. That, Lord, as I remember what you did for me on Calvary, as I remember how you saved me just recently or maybe many years ago, help me always to be true to you, because I know that you are mine and I'm yours eternally. So that is a renewal for us today. I'm asking the ushers, the servers, to come forward. If you are not yet a believer, you are not a Christian, we ask that you would not take the elements of communion. Because the Bible says that, you know, it doesn't make sense. Communion is for those people who already have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are hoping that if you are interested in communion, maybe you can talk to one of us who are a believer, and let us have the joy of sharing with you what Jesus meant when he said he died on the cross for you. And perhaps in the very near future, you would have the joy and we would have the opportunity and honor of celebrating communion together in the body of Christ. And after you have received it, let us wait to partake of it at the same time. This is the body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. On that evening, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and he broke it. Let's break it together. And he asked his disciples, asked all those who call themselves by the name Christians, believers of God, to eat it. This is his body broken for us. Let us eat and receive with thanksgiving. 是我给他们。